Welcome to Tech Talks with Kinsoft. This is the show where we try to cut through some of the noise, the digital static, and, you know, get straight to the insights that matter. And lately, you might have seen some headlines making waves, stories that maybe hit a bit close to home, especially when they're talking about your financial security in, well, this very digital world we live in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So today we're really diving into a situation that's pretty critical. It's impacted a lot of Australians, possibly even your own retirement savings. We're talking about a major cyber incident that hit the Australian superannuation sector, and crucially, what it all means for your financial future.
It is, and it's understandable that it's caused a lot of concern.
Mm.
So our mission today really is to unpack what actually happened, why it's so significant for you, the listener, and maybe most importantly, give you some concrete, practical steps you can take, things you can do to safeguard your financial future.
Right.
We want to bring clarity, some useful insights, not just, you know, drown everyone in tech jargon.
Exactly. And the urgency here, why we're covering this now, is this isn't just theory anymore, is it?
No, not at all.
Around April 4th, 2025, several really big Australian super funds. We're talking Australian Super, Australian Retirement Trust, Host Plus, Rest, CBUS, Insignia. They were all hit by what looks like a coordinated cyber attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we go any further, just a quick point. If you happen to be a StockSpot Super customer, good news for you. Your fund was not caught up in this specific breach. So you can breathe a little easier on that front.
That's definitely reassuring for them.
Okay, so let's get into the mechanics. What actually happened here? What was the attack method? Because it wasn't like some super sophisticated, complex hack deep inside their systems, was it?
No, not really. It was surprisingly simple, actually, but very effective. It's a technique called credential stuffing. Have you heard much about that?
I've heard the term, but maybe you could break it down for us. How does that actually work?
Sure. So what's kind of fascinating and a bit scary is how straightforward it is. Imagine hackers get their hands on a huge list, maybe millions of usernames and passwords.
Okay.
These usually come from past data breaches, you know, completely different websites, maybe breached years ago. Could be an old social media site, an online shop you used once, a forum you forgot about.
Right, those old breaches we hear about.
Exactly. So the hackers take this massive list and they just automate the process of trying these logins, mm-hmm. stuffing them into other websites, in this case, the login pages for these super funds.
Wow. So hang on. If I use the same password for my super account, let's say, as I did for, I don't know, some stream service that got hacked 5 years back, that old compromised password could suddenly unlock my retirement savings.
That's precisely it. It's quite a sobering thought, isn't it?
It really is. So
yeah.
The vulnerability wasn't necessarily a flaw deep within the Superfund's own security, but more exploiting our habits, our password reuse.
Exactly. It really shines a light on how often the weakest link isn't the sophisticated tech, but, well, us. Our individual security practices.
Yeah.
You can build the strongest digital fortress. But if someone reuses a key that's already been stolen from somewhere else, somewhere less secure, well, that fortress door just got opened.
And the impact wasn't just theoretical, sadly. Australian Super, they confirmed 600 members had their accounts accessed.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the bit that really stands out. Specifically, 10 of those members lost a combined $750,000. That's almost $500,000 U.S. dollars.
Ouch.
Now, good news, if you can call it that, is Australian Super did fully reimburse those members. That's important.
Definitely.
But the information we have suggests something critical about how that was funded. Since these industry super funds don't operate like banks with their own capital reserves, the reports say these losses were covered using other members' fees.
Right.
And when you hear that, well, it makes you think, doesn't it?
Mm.
About the bigger picture, the shared pool of funds.
It absolutely raises a big question. You know, what was different about the funds where money wasn't actually stolen? Because we know Rest Super, for example, they confirmed suspicious activity on 8,000 accounts, way more than Australian Super.
8,000? Wow.
Yeah, but critically, no money was lost.
Mm.
Host Plus also said no financial losses. Australian Retirement Trust hadn't found suspicious transactions when this was reported. So it suggests that getting in was one thing.
Right.
But actually getting money out was another challenge, thankfully, in many cases.
And that difference, looking at where money wasn't lost, seems to point directly at one key thing. Multi-factor authentication, or MFA?
Yes. The crucial layer.
That $750,000 that was stolen. The sources we looked at explicitly say it could likely have been prevented if those funds had offered and, importantly, enforced 2FA, which is just another term for MFA on those accounts.
Exactly.
It feels like such a basic security step that just wasn't there for some.
It really is fundamental in today's world. MFA, you know, at its heart, it's just about meeting something extra besides your password to prove it's really you.
Like a second lock on the door.
Precisely. Think of it in categories. Mm-hmm. There's something you know that's your password. Then something you have, like a code from an app on your phone, or maybe a little physical security key. And something you are that's biometrics, like a fingerprint or face scan.
Correct.
The key is they are independent. So even if a hacker gets your password, they still hit that second wall. Mm-hmm. They need that other factor.
And what about SMS codes, you know, where they text you a number? Lots of places use that.
Yeah, they do. And look, it is a form of MFA, mm-hmm. and it's certainly better than just a password, but it's increasingly seen as, well, outdated and vulnerable. Criminals have got pretty clever at intercepting those SMS codes, or worse, they do something called a SIM swap attack.
Right, I've heard about that. That sounds nasty.
It is. They basically trick your phone company into transferring your number to their phone.
Hmm.
So when you try to log in, that verification code goes straight to the bad guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's a surprisingly effective workaround for SMS MFA. That's why security pros really push for authenticator apps like Google Authenticator or Authy, or even better, those physical hardware keys. They're much harder to compromise.
So this whole incident wasn't just about stolen passwords and missing MFA then. The information suggests it exposed wider issues too, like weaknesses in internal controls, financial processes.
Exactly right. If you look at the bigger picture, it's about the whole chain of trust and verification inside the organization. A cyber incident might start with stolen logins and IT problem, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But the impact often ripples right into finance operations. The problem wasn't just that hackers got access. It was that once they were in, the actual payment systems, the workflows for moving money, didn't have enough checks and balances built in.
Ah, okay.
They lacked the layers needed to maybe flag, escalate, pause, or just completely stop a suspicious transaction before the money actually left the building.
So things like needing a second person to approve a large withdrawal or extra checks for unusual activity, that kind of thing.
Precisely.
Yeah.
We talk about segregation of duties or multi-person approval in finance.
Yeah.
Even if someone bypasses the first login hurdle, these internal checks should kick in. They should be separate, require maybe another human or another system verification before big sums can move.
That makes total sense. It's like even if someone picks the first lock on the vault door, there should be another lock inside, maybe needing a different key or a manager's approval before you can actually get to the cash.
That's a great analogy. And it points to a deeper challenge, which is modernizing some of these older financial systems and processes.
Right.
These institutions often have processes built for a slower, perhaps more manual world. And now they're facing these incredibly fast automated cyber attacks. Trying to rely on old methods like, say, phoning a member back to double check a large withdrawal request.
Yeah, that sounds slow.
It's too slow. Just can't keep pace with automated fraud attempts happening in milliseconds. Plus, it introduces delays and, frankly, the risk of human error. Especially under pressure. That whole chain of trust needs updating for the digital age.
Okay, so we've painted a picture of how these attacks work and the vulnerabilities, both user level and institutional. It really underscores that we as individuals need to be proactive. So let's shift to empowerment. What can you, listening right now, actually do to put a stronger shield around your super and, frankly, all your important online accounts? It might feel a bit daunting, but there are definite steps.
Absolutely. And the good news is many of the most powerful defenses are things you can control yourself, and they aren't necessarily super complicated. Let's run through 5 key practical steps drawn right from the lessons of this breach that you should really think about implementing.
Okay, let's hear that.
First, and honestly, I can't stress this enough, use strong, unique passwords. We've seen how reusing passwords is just, well, asking for trouble.
It's the number one way in, it seems.
It often is. So you need a good mix of letters, numbers, symbols, and critically, a different strong password for every single important account, especially financial ones. Please don't use password 123 or your pet's name everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, probably not the best.
My top tip here, get a good password manager. Seriously. They generate complex, unique passwords for you, store them securely, and often fill them in automatically. Takes the hassle out of it and massively boosts your security.
Good advice. What's number two?
Number two, and just as crucial, enable multi-factor authentication, MFA, wherever it's offered. We talked about this. If your Superfind, your bank, your email, anything important offers MFA or 2FA, Switch it on. Now, today.
Don't delay.
Don't delay. It's probably the single biggest security upgrade you can make. Even if someone does get your password somehow, MFA is designed to stop them cold. And again, if you have a choice, aim for an authenticator app or hardware key over SMS, if possible.
Right, stronger options. Okay, number three.
Third, regularly monitor your accounts. Now, I don't mean obsessively checking every 5 minutes.
No, that's not healthy.
No, but make it a habit maybe once a month or even quarterly. Just log into your super, your bank accounts, credit cards. Just scan for anything weird, unauthorized transactions, changes to your address or phone number you didn't make.
Okay.
If you see anything suspicious, anything at all, report it immediately. Don't wait. Quick action really can make a huge difference.
Good habit to build. What's fourth?
Fourth is about being savvy. Watch out for the phishing scams. Criminals are always trying to trick us. You get those fake emails, text messages, maybe even phone calls, trying to panic you into giving up logins or personal info.
Yeah, they can look very convincing sometimes.
They really can. Be super cautious of anything asking you to click weird links, download attachments, or provide sensitive data, especially if it sounds urgent. Remember, your super fund or bank is very unlikely to ask for your full password or login details via email. If you're ever unsure, don't click the link. Go directly to their official website yourself or call them using a number you know is correct.
Always go direct. Got it. And the last one, number five.
And finally, number five, keep your contact details up to date. Seems simple, but it's important. Make sure your email address and phone number on file with your Superfund, bank, everyone are current.
Why is that so critical?
Because that's how they'll send you security alerts. If there is suspicious activity, like a login from a strange location or a password change request, they'll notify you using those details. If they're wrong, you won't get the alert, and you lose that crucial early warning.
Ah, okay, makes sense. Vital for getting those alerts quickly.
Exactly.
So those are great preventative steps. But let's say, worst case scenario, despite your best efforts, you think, oh, something's wrong. I suspect my account has been compromised. We know acting fast is key. What's the absolute first move?
Right. If you suspect a breach, don't panic, but act decisively. The very first thing, contact your Superfund or bank immediately. Find their official fraud hotline number. Don't just Google it. Get it from their official site or your statements.
Okay.
Call them. Tell them you suspect a compromise. Explain why maybe you saw a weird email, a transaction you don't recognize, whatever it is. Ask them to lock the account down right away and start an investigation.
Lock it down first. Got it. What next?
Yeah. Second, change your password for that account immediately. And crucially, if you've been naughty and reused that password anywhere else, you need to change it on all those other accounts too, right away. This is where that password manager habit really pays off, because it stops one breach turning into many.
Stops the domino effect. Makes sense. And third?
Third, be proactive. Check all your other financial accounts, bank accounts, credit cards, any investment accounts. Look for any suspicious activity there too. If criminals got into one account or got hold of some of your personal details, they might try to use that information elsewhere or even try identity theft.
Right. Check everything.
Yeah. Just be vigilant across the board. Catching things early can save you a massive amount of time, money, and frankly, stress down the line.
Yeah.
Cleaning up after a breach is not fun. Prevention and quick response are definitely the way to go.
Okay. So wrapping this up, what we've discussed today really throws a spotlight on, well, two main things, doesn't it? Firstly, how vital our own personal cyber hygiene is. Strong, unique passwords, always using MFA.
Absolutely fundamental.
But secondly, it also shows the bigger picture. The importance of robust financial controls within these institutions and how quickly modern automated attacks can find the cracks in older, perhaps less agile systems.
It really does. And maybe it leaves us with a final thought or perhaps a question to ponder. You know, while the criminals are constantly shifting, constantly evolving their tactics,
always seem to be one step ahead sometimes.
It can feel like that, but our defenses, both personal and institutional, they have to evolve too. The next attack might look different, maybe target something else entirely, but chances are it'll exploit similar kinds of gaps in process, gaps in technology, gaps in awareness if we leave them open.
Mm.
So this incident, it's a really powerful reminder, isn't it? To think critically about the security of all our online activity, not just super. It's an ongoing thing, vigilance, adaptation.
A continuous process. Well said. Thank you for tuning in to Tech Talks with Kinsoft. We genuinely hope this discussion has given you some valuable insights and, more importantly, some actionable advice to help you better protect your digital self.
We hope so, too.
Stay safe out there.
And look, for any of your security and IT needs, maybe you're thinking about how to better protect your business after hearing this, or just want to understand these threats more deeply, we absolutely encourage you to visit us at www.kinsoft.com.au.